Join us for Prophecies of Hope, an extraordinary journey through biblical prophecies revealing God's perfect plan for humanity while bringing light to modern day challenges. From 30 March to 12 April, experience this life-changing series live at the Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church. Catch us on Hope Channel Africa. Tune in to Adventist World Radio or stream on your favorite digital platforms. Prophecies of Hope, where divine prophecy meets human destiny. Don't miss it. This event is brought to you by SID Media in partnership with Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Indeed, that's where we are this evening, right? And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be smacked up in there, bringing you these conversations as they happen every evening for the next coming 2 weeks. So tune into your favorite Christian radio station, Adventist World Radio, powered, of course, by the SID Media. I've got on the other side of this conversation, Mfundisi Simankani, who joins us now on the line. Muruti, good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening, Derek. Really glad to be with you this evening. And indeed, the Holy Sabbath hours are here. A wonderful time to be having this conversation.
Certainly, Muruti. Happy Sabbath to you and to yours as well. Trusting you've been well. It's been a while since we spoke.
It has been a while. It has been a while. And I think that's what makes this moment much more valuable.
Certainly, certainly.
And so I'm really glad to be with you after this long period. And I'm glad to be with the listeners as well, all of you that are joining. It's really great to connect tonight.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much, Pastor. As we begin our conversation for tonight, I'm going to ask if you can please pray with us and we can jump straight into the discussion.
Most certainly. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this moment. We are grateful for your presence in our lives and grateful for the privilege that we have to receive of you the power from above. It is a power that reveals who you are to us. It is a power that changes our hard, stone, and cold hearts, that gives us hearts that are able to be susceptible to the impressions of the Holy Spirit. It is a power that also gives us victory so that we can indeed be heirs of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he has done. And we pray that now in this conversation, he may be clear to us. Mm. And that we might grow to love him more. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Appreciating you. Now, for the next coming 2 weeks, we have been singing this song. I almost certain that the listener is also kind of knowing the jingle and the promos and the conversation off by heart. We are having this massive event, the Prophecies of Hope evangelistic campaign. What's that about, Muruti? Maybe just give us a bit of a snippet of what we're expecting the next coming couple of days.
Yeah, thank you so much. So from the 30th of March, which is just a couple of hours away, up to the 12th of April, we will be running a series by that very title, Prophecies of Hope. It is a series that is speaking to exactly what the name suggests.
Okay.
It is speaking to what God says to the world today. The prophecies, that is the word of the Lord, relevant for this hour, relevant for this moment. And it is speaking to the transformative power of that word for the situations that arise and that are pertinent. Wherever you are in life, whatever your situation, this is a word for you. And so it is a word that we are hoping will touch lives all across the globe. We will be, as you know, partnering with AWR. It is AWR Seed Media Hope Channel. It'll be found on many different platforms, Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we are praying by the grace of the Lord that millions of people will come to know the Creator who made them, and in a relationship will be able to find hope, not only for the temporal lives, but for eternity.
Amen. Amen. And is that what the purpose is, Muruti, of this very particular campaign, that we're trying to bring hope in a world that has kind of lost all purpose of living? Is that what the main goal of this, or do we have maybe something else, and this is just one of the other branches that is going to be coming out?
I think that is absolutely it, Derek. We are dealing with a world that is increasingly hopeless. We have cycles where we have hope sourced on this, banking on that. Politicians that come onto the scene that raise our expectations, and as soon as they get into office, those hopes are dashed, you know.
Yeah.
On a societal level, we can see a degradation on almost every front, morally, spiritually, economically. There is a great disparage between the rich and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the global politics of things, even on that scale, there's just a great deal of chaos. And if one just looks at all of that, there is a great sense, including the natural, you know, calamities that we just came out of COVID not too long ago. And you get a sense that this life as it is and where it is going doesn't have much to offer, but there is in Jesus Christ much more to offer.
Mm.
And so in a hopeless world, there is a hope that is certain, and it is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who is responsible for the creation at the beginning.
Okay.
And because he loves us so dearly, God loves us as the creator, as our father, he would not just leave us to the whims of the enemy who is the cause of all of this. And so he's made a plan revealed in Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross almost 2,000 years ago and left us with a promise, I am coming again. And with that promise, we can today know that indeed it will not always have this trajectory into greater darkness, deeper darkness, more chaos, but it has a bright and glorious end. And the Bible gives us a wonderful vision. And so for everyone in the world, from kings to presidents to ministers to the person on the street, this is a word that is most relevant and that we need to open our hearts and ears to. God is speaking. And so that is what we are hoping, that in a very real temporal way, very real tangible way, in material sense, that we will be able to know that God cares for our current circumstances, but on the elevated supernatural, on the eternal front as well, that we can know that this world, even as it is drawing towards its end in the way that we know it, there is a bright sun that is rising.
Mm.
And we can always look with great anticipation.
Amen.
And so hope is what we seek to engender in the hearts of all.
Amen. Amen indeed. Now, Mfundisi, this hope that you're describing this evening, who are you targeting? Who can come? Who can be a part of this event, and where can they be partaking it? I'm thinking for someone who is maybe local, and then I'm thinking for somebody, I mean, we've got, as we speak this evening, others are watching all the way from your Cape Verde, others are in the Saudis, others are in the Europes. How can they be a part of this, or is it only for those who are in the vicinity of where you are?
All right, let's begin local, and then we go global.
Okay.
On the local level, the church where this event is going to be hosted is Sentinel Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay.
You will find it if you can put on Google 2 Malindi Road, Sunning Hill. So this is in Johannesburg. If you're in Johannesburg, if you're in Gauteng, if you're in Pretoria, anywhere within this vicinity, we invite you to come.
All right.
You must attend this series. It is not to be missed.
Mm.
For many reasons, one of which is that we really have abandoned the message that God has designed specifically for this time. Imagine, Derek, that God has spoken and he said, I have a message for the people living in this very day.
Okay.
And God says,
okay,
this is your message. Don't miss it. And yet at this time, very little is said about what God is saying to the world. And so if you're anywhere within the Johannesburg, Pretoria region, we invite you to come.
Okay.
Sentinel Seventh-day Adventist Church. But of course, this is a net campaign, which means that we want to take full advantage of technology as the Lord has provided it. You know, as you read the prophetic book of Revelation, one of the things that you catch, Daniel, is that as we approach the last days, that, you know, it speaks about the angels. Right now, an angel is a messenger. So you have the three angels' messages. And here, an angel is a messenger who is depicted as flying, right? Now, flying communicates speed. In this day, we are going to need this message to be taken to as many people as far and as wide as possible.
True.
And technology provides exactly that. And this is why I'm glad to be on this platform on AWR, that we can right now converse, and we have people, like you say, who are not just across the different provinces of South Africa, but some are in Zimbabwe, some are in Mozambique, some are in Lesotho, some are in Angola, some are right to the top of Africa, North Africa, others are in the Middle East, going through the turmoil that they're going through there. Others are in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, wherever you are on the globe, you have the ability to connect with us and to listen to this word.
Okay.
And so we have different platforms. The SID has its platforms. If you go on to, and I think you can provide the more granular detail of how they can access the SID platforms on YouTube, as well as Hope Channel.
Yep.
We will be on Hope Channel. For those of you that have DSTV, we will also be on those platforms. And so we are wanting everyone, no matter your location, to know that you can access this word, this prophecy for this time. And we are praying that God will indeed bring hope and light into your life and that you will not only be informed, but transformed.
Is this only for Christians? Fundis, maybe someone is hearing or passes by?
Thank you for that. I'm glad you've asked that question because God is the creator of all mankind.
Okay.
And we sometimes like to stand on an elevated position because of some knowledge we have or other. But the fact of the matter is that God created human beings. So if you're part of the human family, God is your creator. God is the source of your being. And he is the one that has a word for you. And so whatever your community of faith, whatever your descriptions of God, whatever your belief systems, the God of creation. And I think this is the distinctive thing, Derek, the God of creation, the one who is accountable for our existence. When you read Psalms, you know, David says, you formed me. In
my mother's womb.
Okay. Right? You knit me together. And then he concludes by saying, praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so as long as you're breathing, as long as your heart is beating, there is a creator who ought to get the credit for our existence. And that is who is, by definition, adequate to be called God.
All right.
And he is the one that is speaking to all of us. And so for all people of all persuasions, whether Muslim or Buddhist or, beloved, all of us are seeking God. In fact, my second message, Derek, is going to be on the quest for God. And so whether you're entering a temple, entering a synagogue, entering a cathedral, entering a mosque, entering a church, whatever space, this is speaking to your search and quest for God. Right. And I have wonderful news that as you seek for God, you ought to know that God himself is on a quest for you. And it is his spirit that is drawing you to the temple, to the mosque. As you seek God, it is his spirit that is drawing you. And so please come along and please listen and follow along. This is a message from your father, your creator, from God to you.
Oh, I like that. From God, it's almost like a love letter, right? Signed by God. But Noma Uya Emsamo, you are being called to come through. God has a message for you. And I think what I'm hearing you say that in Fundis is that, I mean, we live in a postmodern culture, right? And contrary to that modern philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, God is not dead, is what you're saying, basically. He is very much alive, even in 2025, and we can't wait to see what's happening here. I'm going to ask you maybe...
Absolutely correct. I could add as well. I mean, we spoke of people who are on a quest for God, but you also have critics. You also have atheists. You also have agnostics, you know? And so whatever, you know, we're part of a common family here. And so it is a family conversation, if one can allow. And so I consider myself a brother to you as part of the human family.
Amen.
And I would not want to appear to be taking some other position. We're part of the same household. And so I think it is worthy to have a conversation together. And it is a worthy conversation to have. And we may not always come and agree on every point, but I think we are on a journey, right? And why not walk the journey together?
Amen. Amen. Certainly, Muruti. Pastor, I want to ask a bit of a technical side of question now to say, when you look at the preparations for these 2 weeks, what's been done and how far are we? Are we ready to go? What's some of the work that has gone on behind the scenes?
Look, I think we are, by God's grace, ready to go.
Okay.
This is a major project. The scale of it is just incredible. So on site, where we are going to be having the program itself at Sandton Church, we've been going on this journey for over a year now, right? And so we've been praying about it. And I think that the most important element when it comes to preparation is not the technical side. It is not the program side. It is not even the human side. I think the divine element is the most important. And so we've been praying. We've been praying for God's favor. We've been praying for God's leading. We've been praying for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I think He is the one who has a greater interest. He is the one who takes the leadership in all of this. And we are praying that He truly takes charge. Mm. And so we invite you to pray with us, because in all of this, it is that, you know, the Bible also comes along and says it is not by might nor by power. We could add to that, not by... And we list all of the things that in our minds could account for readiness.
What's needed. Yeah.
And then it says, but by my spirit. Amen. And this is what we see with the early church, right? When you have the disciples in the upper room there. These are folk who come together and pray together earnestly and in unity for the promise that God had given, which is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit comes. And when He comes, man, unbelievable things happen. In one day, thousands accept the gospel of the kingdom. And so this is what we're praying for. We're praying that we will have an acceptance of the gospel of the kingdom in the thousands and millions, hundreds of thousands and millions, because in comparison to the early church, they were at the start. If you think of a relay, Derek, they were at the start of the race, and we are at the critical end, like the baton has been given to those that must now finish the race. The Usain Bolts of this world cannot move at the level of human capacity, but a divine capacity.
Hey.
And so we've been praying. But then in addition to that, we need to be responsible and accountable to God with everything that He's poured into us. And so we've been, the program is ready for each and every night. Mm-hmm. The people that will be participating in the programs are prayed up and by God's grace, ready as well.
Okay.
On the technical side of things, when I was there yesterday looking at the transformation of the church, we know it to be one way, but this is a special program.
Okay.
And so, you know, the technical guys are doing their level best to make sure that for those on the other side of the screens and for those that are there in person, that it is the best experience possible. And of course, we have to think about the program itself as it will be happening.
Okay.
You know, we want to be able to interact with you. So there's a call center that has been set up. Mm-hmm. Some of us may be needing prayer. Some of us may be needing some kind of intervention. Some of us will need further Bible study. It's only 14 days, Derek. It sounds like long.
True.
But the subject matter that we will be focusing on is grand. Mm. And so there will be a great deal of contact needed after that. So we want to set up a system where you will be able by a code to simply put your request in and we connect together. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Mm. We will go the length and the breadth to make sure that you're connected with somebody that can walk the journey with you.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And I think it's quite something to look forward to. And I hope that as they're listening, the people, as they're watching, they're fired up to be a part of this. And I think the hashtag is what? Networking for Jesus, right? Bring somebody, especially if you're a Christian already, let somebody who is not a member of this good news, who hasn't tasted and seen, to be a part of this as well. We'll be right back after this, and then we can continue our conversation. All right.
Thank you.
If you're joining us, you're currently tuned into Adventist World Radio, SID Media, broadcasting live from our studios in Centurion here in Irene, where we're giving you nothing but the very best in Bible-based content. I'm in conversation with Mfundisi Wetlasi Mangane, who is a senior pastor at the Sandton SDA Church, prepping to have one of the most anticipated events of this century, the NET event titled Prophecies of Hope. And I'm hoping that you will be geared in and tuning in to be a part of this auspicious occasion. Certainly be a part of that as we go into these coming 2 weeks from the 30th of March to the 12th of April. And as you heard there from Mfundisi, you can find us at 2 Malindi Road, right there in the heart of Sandton. Or if you can't make it, perhaps you are somewhere else a bit further from there, why don't you visit the sites, Sandton SDA Church on the YouTube space. Find us as well at SID Media across YouTube, across Facebook, Hope Channel. You'll be a place where you can also find the events. You will be able to connect with us. And if you're struggling, why don't you text us on +27 73 470 3520. And even in this conversation, if you have any questions, any comments you'd want to share to the discussion, you can text us on that particular number as well. So do join us as we go through this space together. Mfundisi, welcome back. We are going to be continuing with our conversation, and I want to just speak to you regarding the subject content, right? Especially the theme itself. When we talk prophecies of hope, what prophecies are we talking about here? Because I'm just thinking of some of the prophets in the scriptures. Jeremiah, one of the longest books in the prophets, says is known as the prophet of doom. Which prophecies are we talking about that you shall call the prophecies of hope, Mruti? And why these ones? Why are they the hope ones?
Right. That's a great question. And we will be straddling across the scriptures.
Okay.
And looking to prophecy, we'll be looking to the Word of God as it is given for hope in the world today.
Okay.
Of course, the major focus areas are going to be the books of Daniel.
Okay.
That's all right. The major focus is going to be the prophetic book of Daniel. All
right.
But as you read that, you'd understand that it is the foundation. And my prayer, secretly, Derek, is that this will be the first of a few.
All right.
So Daniel sort of works as a very good place to begin, right? Mm-hmm. And it will connect you with Revelation. It will connect you with Genesis. It really is a great hub.
All right.
So if you're going to be doing Revelation, you need to have some kind of foundation. And Daniel does exactly that.
Okay.
Now I want to give you, you know, you spoke about the prophets. I want to give you a bit of a glimpse into why we say prophecies of hope.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a fascinating character. He is a fascinating character, but also his book is a fascinating book.
All right.
You have three waves of exile. Mm. Just to give you a bit of a context, if you don't mind me doing that.
No, certainly, Infinite.
So you have a historic setting. There are three waves of exiles where the Babylonians come and besiege Jerusalem.
Mm.
Nebuchadnezzar takes the nobles out of Jerusalem. And then you have Daniel, right?
Okay.
So Daniel and other nobles get out of Jerusalem. And there you find the ministry of Daniel. But then there's a second wave. And in the second wave, that is where you have Ezekiel coming out. And this is before he's able to take his priesthood, right? But now while he's in a foreign land, you have the glory of the Lord being revealed to him. And by the way, I say that there were three. And then the third one was where the temple was destroyed and the majority of people were taken out. In the second wave, it was about 10,000. In the first wave, it was mostly just the leadership class.
Okay.
Now, when Ezekiel is taken out, there's again another three here, which is the revelations of God's glory. Now, God reveals himself in chapter one, and it is a magnificent, you almost can tell that he is failing for words, right? To describe what he is seeing.
Mm.
But then you come later to chapters 8, 9, and so forth, and then The glory that he had seen at the beginning now is described as departing. Right.
Okay.
And then you come to the end of the book from around chapter 43. Now you have the return of the glory. So you have glory in three versions. Revealed at the first, arriving, if you will.
All right.
And then you see it departing. And then you see it at the end as it returns. And then I want to introduce you to the last three, the tripartite. And I will just use R as a way to remember.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you have Revelation, right, in chapter 1, where he sees the magnificent glory of God. But then you have Reformation. The reason why the glory departs is because the people stubbornly refused to be receptive to the word of God. When he pleaded with them, when he showed them the right way, they were just so stubborn in their sin, in their rebellion, in their, and so the glory departed.
Okay.
And what does this reflect? It reflects a couple of things. It reflects, one, that God, because he loves us, does not impose himself and his will, but he allows what we call freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. Now, he will not force himself. And so when he is unwelcome, then there are consequences, because now he is not in our presence. And that is when you begin to see a great deal of the consequences. But here is the crux of it, Derek, that in the end, God then says that that very glory will return.
Okay.
Now, this is where the message of hope comes in. And I hope in the description I've given so far, we will appreciate why prophecy is given. It is given to reveal God. It is a revelation. That is why the last prophetic book in the Bible is called Revelation. Apocalypto, which is the unveiling, right? The revelation of God. The revelation of Jesus, who is the creator, whom the entire New Testament is actually saying, hey, the one who is accountable for our creation has visited upon us. Amen. He has tabernacled with us. And so, as you see in Exodus, that the glory comes into the temple, the same thing that, so Prophet Moses speaks about the glory coming into the temple when it is constructed. And then Ezekiel says, I saw the glory come down. Revelation says, actually, before we get to Revelation, John comes along and he says, and the word by which all things were created became flesh, and he tabernacled among us.
Yeah,
so that's Revelation. That's a revelation. And the entire point and drive of prophecy is to reveal, And so whatever prophecy you're looking into, unless you're able to see Jesus and see God clearer, it has not met its objective. But then there is also the reason why he comes. When Christ comes, he will not leave us as we are. Reformation. Right. So prophecy is also given in order, sometimes it will warn us. Right. So Jeremiah, you spoke about Jeremiah earlier.
Yep.
Jeremiah, he was one of those who witnessed, there was a king called Josiah. Josiah was accountable, you know, when the priests found the book of the Moses, what you call the book of Moses. They came and they said, hey, look, we found this book. And it had been dusty, unread over a long period of time. And they bring this book, and Josiah says, hey, this is the word of the Lord. It shows us the way. It is the light. And then he says, let us live by it. There's a great revival that takes place. Now, Jeremiah is witness and experiencing this revival. He's a younger man. Now, when Josiah dies, he writes a lamentation. Now, why am I speaking about Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah warned the people. And he said to them, guys, the way you're going is not it. If you continue this way, things are not going to happen right. And this is why sometimes you hear about the prophets of doom and so forth. He was not a very liked fellow.
Because of the warnings.
He was not very popular. The warnings, right? And this is where the reformative side of things comes in. We live in a world where nobody wants to be corrected, right? Everyone wants to do their own thing. No one wants to be told what you're doing is not going to serve you much good. But Christ says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The fact of the matter is, Derek, that there are things we can do that are self-sabotaging in effect.
Okay.
There's something you can do today that will damage your prospects. If you have a family, you can destroy your family. You can do that.
Yeah.
You have the agency to destroy your marriage. And there are things that are predictable about behavior, right? And the Bible gives us, through the moral law, a very clear way in which, if we want good relations with God, good relations societally, we can be able to know that this is how we thrive.
Right. Yeah.
It is exactly the blueprint that God has given for humanity. When he created us, he put a manual and he said, this is how the earth is to be run, how humanity is to prosper. I have come that you might have life. But when people don't accept that, then, you know, it has the consequences. And that, well, that's what the prophets from times of old, that's what the Daniels, that's what the Revelations also try and point out too. Mm. But then finally, Derek.
Yeah.
Hope, man.
Amen. Hope. Amen.
So when Ezekiel comes along, after all of this has happened, you know, he is taken in the spirit to a valley. And I want you to go with me, man.
All right.
He goes to this valley. And when he is there, and he could have been taken anywhere, but the Holy Spirit takes him to a dire view. He takes him to a situation that is unpleasant for sight. It is a valley of dry bones, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be where there is joy. I want to be where there is life. I want to be, but here is God through the Spirit taking this man to a lifeless situation. Yep. But prophecy does that. It confronts us with certain realities.
Okay.
And so as he confronts this thing, a question is asked. Can these bones live? Mm.
They're dry, goodness.
Can these bones live?
Hey.
Now, we are not in that specific valley, but we are in a valley today, Derek.
Yeah.
Look around the world today. It is a valley. Mm. And when the prophet, when it's God who describes what this valley means and signifies, he says, the people say, go read Ezekiel 37. The people say that we are hopeless.
Eish.
Right?
Eish.
Yeah. We are hopeless. So the bones represent hopelessness, right? It's not just flesh that has decayed. The flesh is gone. The skin is gone.
Everything is gone.
There's no more. You know, in Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. There's no vessels, blood vessels. They're gone.
Everything is gone.
And if the life of the flesh is in the blood, listen to this. The generation of blood is in the bones, in the bone marrow.
Yep.
And the bones are dry. In other words, there's no hope at all for even that which brings life.
Yeah.
And you look at that, the answer is very clear. There is no hope.
Mm-mm. They cannot live again.
But Derek, if God asks you a question, you better be careful. Sometimes it is not the question itself.
Yeah.
Because the question is a foregone conclusion. Mm. I mean, you and I will sit here and you know what the answer is. No. It can't.
It's obvious.
It's obvious. But if God presents the question that is so obvious, I think that Ezekiel was wise to respond and say, Lord, only you know.
Yeah.
Only you know. There are things that we've completely written off. There are situations that we've completely written off. There are circumstances. There are families. There are marriages. There are relationships. There are situations, your finances.
Yeah.
You've probably come to a place where you say, no, these are dry bones.
There's no hope, yeah.
Maybe you're looking at your child, you know?
Yes.
Forgive us, Lord, but you look and you've tried and year after year and you're looking at how deep they're going into the drugs. You're looking at how far off they're gone and you're thinking, oh, these are dry bones. Mm. No hope. What are your dry bones? God then comes and he says, son of man, prophesy.
Amen. Amen.
Now these people, Derek, who will say, but why should we look into prophecy? Why should we, you know?
Yeah.
There are so many reasonable antidotes. The situation, of course, is impossible, but I think there are so many other reasonable ways around it. Why should you go to
prophecy? Yeah.
Where there is no hope. Give me a real tangible solution. But God says, prophesy.
Prophesy.
The answer to the situation
lay
right there. How will the situation be turned around? It lay right there. Son of man, prophesy. Mm. And so there are some who might despise prophecy. But what I'm saying to you today is that prophecy is not just a matter of anticipating what is to come. There is a power resident in prophecy.
Okay.
So that when prophecy goes forth, it has agency and transformative power. Mm. Prophesy. And when the prophecy goes forth, the situation changes. And here is my belief.
Okay.
That in these 14 days, as prophecy goes out, it won't just be a matter of understanding the times and the seasons. No.
Okay.
Even when you look at the question of the disciples, just as Jesus is about to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we will not deal with those things. The Bible gives them to us for a reason. Mm-hmm. But listen to Jesus' mm-hmm. answer. Will you at this time restore the kingdom? And he says, it is not for you to know the times mm-mm. and the seasons mm-mm. that God has set in his own authority. But then he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come.
Okay.
And the Bible says that the wind blew, right?
Mm.
I'm believing that as we prophesy,
the wind will
I'm not just going to be teaching about, I'm not just going to be explaining things.
Okay.
I will be prophesying.
Amen.
In a valley of dry bones.
Amen.
In a world that is increasingly hopeless.
Amen.
And I believe that as we prophesy, the Holy Spirit comes. And where there was no more hope, it is not just in the sweet by and by, but God is able in the here and now to begin a work.
Amen.
In homes where somebody is sitting down and listening to the word, to the prophecy, that God will operate, that he will dispatch angels of heaven across the globe on assignment to respond to those who are receiving the prophecy. End effect of it was,
I receive
that those that were dead came back to life again. The situation never was the same again. There is power in prophecy, Derek.
You know, as you were preaching there, you got to me, Mfundisi. I wanted to shout, I receive, Papa, prophesy. Prophesy. That was so potent. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. And then maybe let's touch a bit on that, Mfundisi, to say prophecies of hope, are they only these biblical prophecies you've been mentioning, right? Daniel, Revelations, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and so forth. Or can we also be including post-biblical prophecies, right? The ones we hear as about Papa, you know, I prophesy, you know, your number starts with zero and you will receive miracle money in your bank account. You don't need to work for it. Just appears. Boom. God made a miracle. Are those also part of that? I mean, because surely that's a message of hope. You're just talking, Mfundisi, sometimes these are the issues we are dealing with. Life is hammering us on every side. I mean, the young people were saying, what's the point of talking beasts in Daniel and Revelations, whereas I don't have a job. I've gone to school. I was promised you go to school, get good grades, you get a good job and life is hunky-dory. And here I am, years passed and I've graduated. And here someone says, I prophesy you will receive. And they shout, I receive. They receive. Are those also the prophecies of hope you're talking about, Pastor?
Yeah. So let me start with Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is in that valley and he doesn't generate his own words.
Okay.
Yeah. So God says, this is what you are to say. So there is God's word that he becomes the mouthpiece
of. Right. All right.
Right? Yeah. And why is that important? It is because people can, exactly as it was in the time of Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
they did not like what Jeremiah had to say.
Yeah.
But there were other prophets. Prophets were not in short supply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had very pleasing things to say, right?
Hey.
About what was to happen. And all of them were doing so in the name of God.
Mm.
And so the Bible also tells us to test the spirits, right?
Okay.
Let's go to the book of Daniel as another example.
All right.
Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in the dream, he wakes up, doesn't have memory of the dreams. And man, he's troubled by that. There was no short supply of those who specialized in the spiritual realm. And so you had sorcerers, you had those that were called Chaldeans, you had magicians. And he calls them all and he says, can you please come here?
Yeah.
Because I need some help. Now, I will summarize it because he quickly sniffed that, you know, these guys want to scam me.
Yeah.
These guys want to scam me. If I tell them the dream, they will rush to create an interpretation.
Fitting, yeah.
Right? If I meet somebody and I give them my wrist, they will say, hey, you know, they can give me some kind of...
With the lines, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody else can come and throw bones and say something else. You can get into a room and you have a prophet, and then he begins to tell you what is in your fridge, right? And you have a lot of this that is going on.
Okay.
Now, are these the words of God? That's the key question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, Derek, need people to appreciate that the prophet is a mouthpiece for the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so, oftentimes you will even find that, and by the way, let me just pause to say, it is not that you will not find miracles in these other places. When Moses went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh had his own folk around him who could perform
Similar miracles.
Yeah. Similar miracles, right? Yeah. These fellows that were around Nebuchadnezzar, it was because they did have connection with what you might call supernatural powers. But here's the king, Derek. Here's the thing, that there is a contest, what some call the great controversy.
Okay.
And this is why it is absolutely fundamentally important to understand this prophecy.
Okay.
Because as we are in these days that the Bible describes, one of the things that the Bible is trying to say to us, and I'll go to Matthew, go read Matthew in the prophetic section when Christ himself is giving prophecy. The first thing that he says, this is chapter 24, 25. The first thing that Christ says is, do not be deceived.
True.
Do not be deceived. When you come to Revelation, in Revelation, there again, you find that when you're speaking about the last days, when you're speaking about the powers, when so you spoke about those, why should we be looking at the beast and the dragon and
you know what?
If you want to read that section,
Christ, talk to us about Christ.
Yeah, just give me Jesus, right? Yeah. Just give me Jesus, and that's enough. That's good. But the thing is, it's this: the prophecy is exactly about that—the revelation of Jesus.
Okay.
But you also ought to understand that there are counterfeits, right? Counterfeits. So go read Revelation and you come to chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. That is where the great controversy is depicted in such clarity. And there you find what we call a counterfeit trinity. And part of what they use as a tool is deception.
Yeah.
Deception is the word you find coming again and again and again and again. So the world is not in short supply of false prophets. Who are connected to spiritual powers. Saul was an example of somebody who accessed such. And they told this man comes and he says, this is what's going to happen to you tomorrow.
Yep.
You're going to die. Exactly what happens, right? But God had already said, you should not go to these, right? You should not go there.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying in answer, just to try and summarize, there is no short supply today of false prophets. But when it comes to what the word says, what God says, because prophecies are exactly about what God himself is saying.
Amen. Amen.
You must be able to find that if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
There is no light.
Isaiah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I think we need that discerning spirit like the king, right? Where we can sift past the riffraff and say, where's the real thing? And that's what we need. And as you were speaking there, I was reminded of, I think it's Ahab, the king of Israel, as he is wanting to go to battle with Jehoshaphat. And they say, no, let's ask God. And he brings a lot of prophets. And it's like, Jehoshaphat is like, is this everyone? He's like, there's this other one, but I don't like him, that one.
I don't like him.
He doesn't say nice things, that one. Whereas that's actually where the voice of the Lord is. And we need to be careful that we don't find only people who say nice things to us. And we think that's God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, thank you. We're going to take some quick questions. And funny, some coming through on our WhatsApp line, some coming through on our stream here. If you want to add your conversation, ask a question, you definitely can do that. Do find us on the WhatsApp line, +27 73 470 3520. That number again? +27 73 470 3520. You can drop a comment if you're watching on the stream. YouTube, Facebook, SID Media is what the account is. So comments coming through. Fundisi, but Omunyati, Ezekiel is a whole movie, as you were describing there, the three things that are coming through and so forth. Yeah, I think people are saying the interest for the Prophecies of Hope campaign, they are ready for it. The interest is piqued. They can't wait for those coming few days. Let's take a look at some of the comments that came through on our WhatsApp, on our YouTube page and our Facebook page. We've got here Dr. Hamunga saying, the human instrument became powerful in the hands of God Almighty. You are an on point, Mfundisi. I join praying for the coming divine program that will be beamed to the whole world. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Dr. Hamunga, all the way from Zambia, joining us this evening. We also have another comment here, Humphrey Chibuye, saying amen, following. Thank you so much. I think we truly, truly appreciate that. And I see people tagging each other. Go ahead and do that. Let this message go far, not only for this conversation, but more so for the upcoming discussions that are going to be starting on Sunday, the 30th of March, running all the way through to the 12th of April. Muruti, I want us to continue our discussion as we draw towards the close, in actual fact, trying to understand what we can then do in this day and age, right? Looking at these prophecies of hope. You already addressed how this is not just information, right? This is not just information. It's more than that. And we need to go in there already with that mind that I'm expecting more than just to be edified in terms of knowledge, but to meet God and what His Word is saying to us. Can we have confidence to engage in these prophecies? Because, I mean, we're going to be running this campaign for just 2 weeks, 14 days, right?
Correct.
But
Correct.
Life is a bit longer than 14 days. And sadly, not all the time can we go to Mfundisi Simankani and say, Pastor, tell us a word again. Explain, what did you say? Revelation said, can we have confidence, especially after such an encouraging discussion that's going to be running for 2 weeks, that in our private spaces, we can go to those books which have been others. I mean, I know people who say, my bishop told me Revelation. I mean, you were talking, it's unveiled, right? It's an unveiling, the opening, the apocalypto. And yet others are told, no, scary book, close it. It's not for us. Leave it alone. Can people have confidence that in their private spaces, they can read the books of Daniel, of Ezekiel, of Revelations, and make sense and see, like you said, Jesus in these books? Is that possible? That they can do this after this series, or they can wait for another one next year?
Derek, man, thank you for asking that question. Allow me, first of all, to appreciate Dr. Hamunga for his prayers. And for
Amen.
All of those that are praying, we really appreciate
Amen.
It. What a wonderful question, Derek, because I want you to appreciate that God himself,
yeah,
is the one who has a message, right?
Amen.
A message for the
Amen.
World and a message for you. And I am praying that, you know, we will be a vessel through this particular project to simply be a catalyst to begin or to continue to emphasize or to, but by no means are we the Genesis and the Revelation. We are not the Alpha and Omega in the matter.
Okay.
And so many of you have been looking into these things, and we're praying that this will be a help. I mean, when you look at the book of Acts, you find that, you know, you have the eunuch who is studying and he's reading the book of Isaiah, can't quite figure it out on his own. And the Lord teleports, if you can allow me to
true.
Use that.
That's exactly
his own
it.
Messenger to come into the chariot with him. And as they open, then he begins to reveal. We need that, you know.
Okay.
Even Saul, you know, when he met Christ, he could have said, I want you to directly, but then God says, go to the house of, and he transfers into others. So this is an important part. But as we go through the 14 days, that will not be the end of the journey, is my prayer.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit, who will be with us in the 14 days, will also be with you.
Amen.
And we pray that we will give you sufficient tools from the scriptures and sufficient encouragement for you to continue deepening your knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And God can do that, right? I mean, the same God that can speak to the prophet also is willing to speak to the one who's going to be reading his word. I think that's what Revelation actually says. I think chapter 1, verses 3, right? To say there's a blessing for those who are reading,
blessing
for those who are hearing, and for those who are keeping this word. Everyone receives a blessing. For it says, we draw to the close. I want us to come back to the campaign and wrap it up there. What is a special message you'd want to leave with the listener, the viewer this evening, as we give an invite, a special invite? Is there a particular special invite you want to leave with them?
Yeah. When we think about prophecy, a lot of people have a critical distance between themselves and prophecy because the themes seem so grand. You're talking, for instance, about kingdoms.
Right.
But what I would want you to appreciate is that you have a place within this grand picture.
Okay. Okay.
And the entire point of it is for God to locate you within his plans. So prophecy is not just about a sequence of events or an outlaying of what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is impressive for the fact that it helps us appreciate that he is the God, according to Isaiah, who declares the end from the beginning and differentiates himself from all who might seek to claim what only is the prerogative of God.
But
beyond that, God is saying that I am wanting you to know that I have a plan. And prophecy is a revelation of God's plan for you and I, for the world, for the human race, for the human family. Now, here's the thing, Derek.
Yeah.
Where you are seated, where I am seated, I want you to, as we are going through this series, I want you to have a picture of this. Jeremiah prophesies. He prophesies about what will happen soon. And he tells them that, you know, Babylon is going to come. Nebuchadnezzar, God's servant, is going to come, you know. And he is going to take people away from here. He does that. He tells them what's going to happen about the defeat of Jerusalem and so forth. But after doing so, the things that he prophesied begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When they happen, people are living within those unfolding narratives.
Okay.
Daniel is a part of the prophecy spoken by Jeremiah. He is a living being, breathing, eating, walking within a prophetic story.
Okay.
And I'm saying to you that sometimes these grand things may seem quite far, but could you be a key cog within the plans of God? Because it is about what God is seeking to achieve for the kingdom on earth.
Yes.
So as you're reading through the prophecies, my brother and my sister, God is calling you to take your position within the kingdom and to be used just like Daniel was in the olden day.
Okay.
And to play your role. And I'm praying that within these last days, that when we get to the other side of the pearly gates, that I will be sitting with the greats. And I'm praying that even as much as no Bible has been written about this day, that I would have honored God's call for me at this particular special time in redemption history.
Oh yes.
And the invitation I'm making is that all of us should come and become a part of this grand story.
Yeah.
You are not a nobody within the story.
Amen.
God has a special place for you. And so I'm hoping, Derek, that everyone who comes along will not only be informed, like you said, but will be transformed.
Amen.
So that they will dare to be a Daniel in this very day and age. Not just commentators about the evils of this or that other power. Not talking about their politicians as if they have no power resident in them, but they will play their part in praying for presidents and kings. They will play their part in influencing their families. They will do their part in fulfilling what God desires for the kingdom in this time.
I like that. I like that. You know, as you were speaking there, Mfundisi, I heard Mordecai's words being echoed in your language, you know, that perhaps could the viewer, the listener is brought for such a time as this.
For such a time.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Mfundisi, people's interest has been piqued. We heard the comment coming through on the WhatsApp line. What can they expect? Whet their appetites a bit more as we wrap up.
Yeah, it'll be quite an epic journey. We'll begin on day number one, asking the question, why am I here? Why am I here? And they will begin on the very moment of conception. And we will be dealing with the knowledge we have in this modern day of how the human being is formed. And when psalmists talk about formed in your mother's womb, what's going on there? And then Jeremiah comes and God says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Hallelujah.
I knew you.
Hallelujah.
Before you were born, I set you apart. So that's day number one. On day number two, we are talking about the quest for God. And on day number three, we are talking about, and now we will get into Daniel proper. On day number three, we'll be getting into the life of Daniel, how to live a life of excellence. Come on now, Derek. How to live a life of fulfillment.
Amen.
And I'm praying that all of us will live our best lives, right? On day number four, we'll be talking about the challenges of this world. Prophecy presents us very real. We don't run away from the circumstances of life.
Yeah.
But we live and confront them. And so how to face the fires. And then we'll be talking about prayer, and we will be expanding from those elements, because there is the narrative part of prophecy, and then there is the grander prophetic elements.
Okay.
And we will get into those on the foundation of the covenant that God has made with his people, with you and with me. I am believing that all of us will get out of this series excited for what lies ahead, but not just excited. We will also leave ignited.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 We can't wait for this, Mfundisi, and we pray the Lord truly, as he has begun this good work, continues and sees it through until the day of completion. We cannot wait for what he has in store for his people during this period. Muruti, I'm going to then allow that you pray for us, pray for the campaign, pray for everyone who's going to be putting their hands to the plow in this mission. Pray for the Lord to visit us. Pray for the Lord to visit the souls, those in the valley of decision who will make a decision for Christ during this campaign, be it in the site in Sandton or across the platforms that are going to be joining us. Let's minister and call upon their names to be registered in the books of heaven. Can we do that, Pastor?
Let's do so. Yeah. Our loving Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to use this address that you've given us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Father, you are King, you are Lord, you are Creator, you are God. Tonight, as we approach you with delight in calling you Father. And it is because it gives us the sense of your love for us.
Yes.
How much you love your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus, who is the express image revealing to us the extent, the intensity, and the eternal nature of God's love. Father, I do pray that this love may envelop us, that we may be caught by this vision of love, and that indeed love may have the victory in the end. Oh, I pray that we'll be agents of love. So I do pray above everything, Father, that as we enter into this special period, that your love, your arms of love may be extended to the young girl, to the young man, to the old man, and to every single person who is in need of knowing that the one who made them loves them. Oh, I pray that, Lord, your love would envelop them. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch us all. I pray that you would begin with all of those participating. Lord, I place myself. Who am I?
Oh, yes.
Who am I? Father. Who am I? Only but a sinner, common sinner, as with others of my brothers in the human family. I'm no better than anyone else, dear Father, but I thank you for your grace. I thank you, dear Father, that you have given me this privilege that is undeserved, to be an agent of heaven, to say, look what I have found and seen in Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray that they also will connect with you.
Yes, Father.
So, Father, touch my lips and touch my heart. I pray that I will be only an instrument in your hand.
Yes, Jesus.
Use me as you will. I pray for everyone that will be participating, from the singers to all of those that will be giving little nuggets to help us in the different areas of life. I pray, dear Father, for the technicians that will make sure that this word gets to the ends of the world. I pray, dear Father, that when this work is done, may your will have been accomplished on earth, even as it is done in heaven.
Amen.
May you have touched life in very real ways. And I pray that you would have done this only for the glory of your name.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you for Derek, dear Father, and the work that he is doing. I pray that you would give him a special place in your kingdom.
Amen.
I pray that as he continues, Lord, to get onto these airwaves, that your spirit may be upon him. And that, Lord, you would be able to take the gospel of the kingdom far and wide through his influence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, dear Father, for this evening, and thank you for this moment. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, and for the ministry that you're doing. May God bless you. May he enlarge your territory, and may he bless those close to you, your family. What does the scripture say? He who waters will be watered. May that be true of your life. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek. God bless you.
Bless you. Happy Sabbath, and thank you, Pastor. We'll see you then tomorrow. I think we'll be worshiping together there. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's how we're going to be then closing off this one here. I'm Mfundisi Wetla Simangane joining us this evening as we go through the prophecies of hope discussion. Don't miss it. Don't miss it is my encouragement to you. Don't miss it. If you miss this one, I don't know what you're doing. Take a friend, right, and invite somebody, and not just somebody who is already a Christian. Call somebody who doesn't know the Lord, somebody you've been hoping they could come. We don't need, I know that we always say, bring seven. No. Just one. And I think one is good enough to just say, hey, my friend, here's a link. Why don't you join us? And you invite them every night. Come through. Hey, here's the venue. Why don't you come through? I'll even come by and pick you. You know, do that. Hey, come to my house. How about we come for dinner every night, 6:30. To 8 o'clock every evening. A comment came through earlier on saying, hey, Mati, bang us ninch the song service, please. These campaigns always give us the sermon, but leave out the congregational singing as a belief. Please, we want the song service. We will be doing that every night from 6:30. We'll be bringing you exactly that, the music that's coming through, the nuggets like the pastor was talking about. Everything will be coming through to you. So don't miss out from this Sunday. Set an alarm clock by 6:15. Get close to a device by 6:15. I hope that you're parking your car or you're getting off the taxi or whatever transport mode you're using to get to the venue, to Malundi Drive in Sandton. Please make room for this. I also got another comment here. Gutiwa, power packed program. Thank you so much. Yes, Brakesh, brother Smaushu, making a comment on our WhatsApp line. Definitely, we can't wait. We can't wait for this event. Not because it's going to be such an exciting program, but because we are trusting God to do something mighty. And so don't just be excited, but pray for the Spirit of Jehovah to move mightily in his people, in his ministers, in his airwaves. I know Satan has been trying to work in the technology, gremlins every day. May this not be the time that he wins. God, may he protect that his message goes out to whoever needs it. So we want people to be revived, reconsecrations, rebaptisms, but more so new souls to come to Jehovah. We need that in this period. So do make a date from the 30th of March to the 12th of April. In fact, here's the pastor. Why don't we let him say exactly what we're talking about?
Join us for Prophecies of Hope, an extraordinary journey through biblical prophecies revealing God's perfect plan for humanity while bringing light to modern-day challenges. From 30 March to 12 April, experience this life-changing series live at the Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church. Catch us on Hope Channel Africa, tune in to Adventist World Radio, or stream on your favorite digital platforms. Prophecies of Hope, where divine prophecy meets human destiny. Don't miss it. This event is brought to you by SID Media in partnership with Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church.